6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Something followed me home, taking that, and yes, crazy, spooky things that went on in my home. I went on a little bit more demonic in a sense, a little bit darker.
When I look over down towards my feet, and I see a figure right at the foot of the bed, just kind of looking over us, right? A dark, black figure.
I was probably on simulation mode. I really do believe I was just standing in a corner somewhere, and whoever was playing me is like, press pause on my pee or something.
Hello again. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Supernatural Station. I'm your host, Roman Daniels, and joining me once again is my brother, Jaron Daniels.
We looking to get creepy.
And my cousin, Sean Lawrence.
I would say that's a definite yes.
Yes!
And today we're just going to kind of dive into a couple other paranormal experiences that we've experienced together, as well as some individual stories. And basically, this is the part two of our last episode, just basically continuation of stories from the previous episode. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that one. We talked a little bit about winter quarters and the mine disaster that happened there. And my cousin Sean, who took a artifact that he had found home with him. And basically, we're going to kind of go into some of the, I guess, the consequences of taking that home.
The events of that following year, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to go there, Sean. We can kind of start there if you want.
Yeah. So I get this artifact, right, from Schofield. You can tell it's from the early 1900s. It could be older than that. I take this home. I lived in Sugar House. I grew up in Sugar House, old-time Sugar House in Utah, and before it became kind of booming. I lived in this home. I actually lived in two homes that were fairly probably, one street away from each other.
Oh yeah, like 30 steps from each other,
right? Type of thing. So we get back from Schofield and we're doing our normal stuff. We're going to school. I'm hanging out with my cousins Roman and Jaron here, as much as I absolutely can. We hung out on the weekends. It doesn't seem like there was at least every other weekend we were hanging out.
Oh yeah,
as much as we possibly could. So we've always been close. We've always had these paranormal experiences happen whenever we got together, and we really couldn't explain. Sometimes it even just came about without us even looking for it. Just
yeah.
All the, we would just, something would happen. We would hear something that was totally random.
Something in the blood.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
We're like some kind of trifecta, that just when it's like the perfect energy between the three of us.
I mean, we all have Hopi Indian blood in us. Maybe there's something to do with Native Americans in this. Who knows?
True. Could be.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I'm going into this this story with the pretense that I have this old disastrous artifact that I stole. And don't ever do this. I actually regret doing it, not only for respectful purposes, but just also the creepy paranormal consequences that came and followed me, that something followed me home taking that. And it seemed like that entire year was just nothing but just just crazy, spooky things that went on in my home.
I attribute this situation to when you take something from a haunted area or an older area, it's kind of like, you know, taking an item that meant value to somebody or was tied to somebody. And so we really do feel like sometimes that will invite something, kind of like messing with the Ouija board, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's say you're the spirit of somebody who passed away during the Winter Quarters Mine, and you see that artifact, it's something that you remember, right? Those artifacts don't exist. We don't make spikes like that anymore. And so you're holding on to something from your era, you know, it's something you want to kind of tie to, you know. Basically, so Sean brought this artifact back. You know, we're hanging out all the time, so we're coming over, we're staying the night over there, having a lot of sleepovers, you know, as like teenage boys do if they're all close and having fun and everything. And so we come over, and one night we're going to have a sleepover over there. Sean is a big Star Wars fan, so he's got this Darth Vader cutout in his room, right?
And just it's super cool. Context of how his house is set up. Like, we used to go through the side door, and you go in the side door, his kitchen's on the right side there, and then there's a direct stairwell that goes downstairs, and his room was downstairs. And there's like a little family room downstairs, and then there's like another little room to the side of that, and then a small little utility room, and then finally Sean's room. Yep. And his was closest to the stairwell and the underground storage underneath the stairs. And so it was a kind of a creepy spot, for sure. Yeah. Darker, colder.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that went on in that house, from deceased pets that I recently buried that would show up on camera. I just going into that just really quick, you know, I had a hamster, okay, and he was my best friend at the time in the house. You know, my mom worked double shifts all the time. I was down in the basement building with connects and things like that, just kind of by myself quite a bit. So my hamster passed away. And we started doing the ghost hunting a little bit more at this point, right? But we were still kind of new to it. We had the Schofield experience. So he passed away, and I still kept his cage in the laundry room. And I remember that when these guys were over, we decided to just place the camera on night vision in his, you know, kind of by the cage, right? We knew that he was gone, but I hadn't yet cleaned up his cage or anything. It was very, very recent that he died. And so I just decided to leave it down there. And we left it down there for, what, 5-10 minutes, maybe a little longer than that. And when we played back the tape, you can clearly hear the sound of a hamster that was gnawing and chewing on the cages as they do the bar cages to kind of trim down their teeth. I'll never forget that, because I just, you know, it was so fresh in my mind. And I knew that, I absolutely knew that there was no absolute way that there was anything of that sort making that kind of noise.
Well, yeah, there was no other animal in your house that would be down there. There was no person down there. Also, I remember on that video that there was like these orbs passing by, like just left to right, you know, these little white light anomalies that are just passing by, right? And so we kind of concluded, and obviously we don't know for sure, but we kind of concluded that it was this weird little maybe portal area, because it just felt like if those were, let's say people believe that orbs are spirits or maybe like the manifestation of spirits, there was a lot of them, and it wasn't dust. It's sitting there flying intelligently, you know, in different directions and things. And it's not bugs. It's just flying from left to right, and it was pretty interesting. That was all during that video when you can hear the hamster gnawing on the, well, what we thought was the hamster, the sound of it.
Yeah, I think we were all, like, a little excited about testing out, like, theories and stuff, because we were really into just figuring things out, and so that's why he put the recorder there. Obviously, it was touching moment for him because he lost his pet and stuff, but it was just kind of to see like if there was energy there, if something did show up, and it did, it was weird. And then we saw those orbs, and then it's weird too because his room was right next to that, and so we're like, man, it's got to be a portal because of what we're going to tell you next.
Yeah So continuing with that story, that was a kind of more on the lighter side of things, you know, that hamster story, and now it starts turning into a little bit more demonic in a sense, a little bit darker, a little bit more, okay, this is not something that we probably should be...
It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost anymore.
Correct, yeah, yeah. What we're getting into is almost dangerous in a sense. So the story that we happened to take place that night is, I gave my twin cousins here, I think it was a full or a queen-size bed down there, and I didn't have a bed frame as a teenager. I just had a mattress on the floor, and I was quite comfortable that way. So we're all gathering up, and, you know, I don't know, we played some games and stuff like that, and then we start, you know, it's time to go to bed, right? It's time to just shut down. And as Roman mentioned, I was a huge Star Wars guy. I got this Darth Vader cutout that was, you know, I don't know, I think I got it from, it was Media Play at the time that I was working there.
And it's a life-size, you know, it's pretty tall.
Correct. It's one of those party full-size Darth Vader cutouts. It was in the corner of my room at, in the back corner where the closet doors, they were sliding closet doors. So I kept it kind of back there out of the way. It was a pretty big room for a bedroom. It was almost like a master-size bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember when we were getting, you know, going to bed, we shut the lights off, TV was off, things like that. And, but, you know, you're excited, right? You can't just fall asleep. So you're just trying to get comfortable. And I can't quite recall who mentioned something first.
It was me that woke up in the middle of the night, and it was probably, you know, 2 or 3 a.m. It's always, you know, near the witching hour type thing, they say.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. It's something to do with the veil, maybe. Who knows? But
it's the thinnest.
I just remember, you know, Sean was courteous enough to let us sleep on his bed, so my twin brother and I are sleeping on the bed, and
I always call the wall. That's why I wasn't there. I turned the wall side, so I didn't see anything at all. Jared, I was always the most scared.
Bad experiences kind of turn you that way, where, you know what, the best way to avoid things like this is just turn away.
Yeah, so I just remember waking up, and it kind of happens where you just kind of wake up, and I sort of sit up, and I look over down towards my feet, and I see a figure right at the foot of the bed just kind of looking over us, right? A dark black figure. To me, it wasn't alarming because I'm like, in my mind, I don't know why, but in my mind, it registered as the Darth Vader cutout. I'm like, oh, it's just that Darth Vader cutout. So I just literally turn over and go back to sleep, not thinking anything of it, right? And the next morning, we all wake up, you know, we're kind of getting up and getting ready to hang out again and have some breakfast, whatever. And somehow it was mentioned, right,
Sean?
Yeah. I think you remember this part a little bit better.
Yeah. I remember this part when you woke up, and I almost remember seeing it as well. And I can't quite recall that night if I think it might have been the morning when we were discussing it, but I almost remember being awake, semi-awake, because there was, you know, rustling, and I could just tell that somebody was awake. I vouch for that. In the morning when he mentioned it, you know, did you guys happen to see this? You know, it was just some shadow figure standing over there. And I happened to just reluctantly just, oh, that's just the Darth Vader cutout. You know, you probably just saw him. And I remember, I think Roman said, no, or somebody said that couldn't have been because he's over in that corner.
Yeah, totally opposite corner of the room. All of a sudden, we're like, all of us look over, turn our eyes over there, and we see the Darth Vader cutout in the corner, right? Away from the bed.
If I remember right, we were all still in the room. We were like in our pajamas. It was morning.
Yeah.
And we were kind of just talking about it before we got up and had Weevil's breakfast. But we decided to...
It wasn't that old.
That's an inside joke, guys. Oh, man. But we woke up. We were just talking about it. And I remember they were talking about it. They were both frantic. And I don't really remember. I think I tried to, like, block it out a little bit. And I wasn't looking at it directly. But I do remember them saying, like, Sean waking up and saying, hey, is that... Or, like, trying to say something at night. Or Roman, there was rustling. And everybody was always kind of awake at night. It was weird. Like, even though we were having comfort together.
I think the three of us sort of just sense when there's something going on. And it's like, we all just jar awake. So I think all of us probably were awake. You know, we don't talk because you're in such a state of, like, a little bit of shock that you're kind of not like, hey guys, you know, we don't really talk. We're just kind of like observing at that point. You know, I'm open to the idea that maybe an entity was carrying the Darth Vader cutout and like moving it around the room. That's a possibility. Or it was something else entirely. I have no idea because the figure was so, like, in my mind, what I remember, it was like, it wasn't defined. It was just a black shadow that was shaped like a human shape.
And if I remember, Roman was telling both me and Sean, I think he said, no, the Darth Vader cutout was on this side. And I remember seeing them both.
They were both simultaneously there. That is one vivid image in what I remember.
I really remember that too.
I remember there was the Darth Vader cutout closest to my closet, and then there was an entity that was on the other side. So they were both at the same exact time.
Mimicking the exact same design.
Again, I'm getting chills thinking back on it again, guys.
But you got to understand, too, like, these shadow men, this is definitely not the first occurrence of a dark shadow man figure. And I don't know if you guys would think, would you be open to the possibility it could have been the same one following us, or could it have been different ones?
I don't know. I think the shadow man is probably one of the most common paranormal experiences that people have, as they see something like what we're experiencing here, which is this dark shadow figure that's blacker than black. It's blacker than the darkness in the room, you know. And a lot of it's the Middle Eastern lore. They call it the jinn. The way that the people out there in the Middle East describe the jinn is basically like a demon to them. Is that same way? It's like this dark shadow that's darker than dark. It can take on different forms, and so who knows? I don't know. It could all be connected.
Well, and if you've done research in this area, like, there's the shadow man, and then there's something called the hat man. And the Hat Man's a shadow man with a hat, basically.
Yeah.
And now that I think about it, type thing. Darth Vader cutout kind of looks like a big hat.
It kind of does have that little bulbous part.
So who knows? Like maybe we had the freaking notorious Hat Man chilling with us. That would be really scary. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was one of our experiences, and there was many in that area, like both houses, you know. Sean grew up in the one that was just down the street from that one, but then when we were about teenage age, that's when we were in this house where we had the Darth Vader cutout experience. But that, you know, the creepy thing about that, it was right next to, there was a graveyard not far away, there was a golf course, like, we just don't know what was in that area, but it was all old houses, like, everything was in the, probably built in, like, the 20s or 30s, kind of old houses. It was just creepy.
Just the neighborhood, like, at night, we used to go out at night sometimes in that neighborhood, in his older house, which was, like, the same neighborhood, even in the new house, too. It just had a weird, creepy feel outside. It almost felt like, I don't know, all of us kind of brought this up at one point. Like, maybe it's like a burial ground underneath that we didn't know about or something like that. It just kind of has that feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, the creepy part is, guys, is that was a rental house.
Yeah.
And it always has been. I don't know if it's sold now, but it almost makes me wonder if, you know, why is a house always for rent? How many people were there? What could have been done in that house before we showed up?
And you always have to wonder if it's a really good price. Like, that's always a red flag for me. It's like, oh, you're looking at a bunch of houses nearby, and they're all maybe $200 or $300 more a month, and that one is the cheapest one. You got to wonder about
that. And that house was actually really nice. It had, like, cool doors painted. It had, like, really nice interior design, even though it was an older house. They did some remodeling to it.
And I will say that just because it's an older house or just because it's a newer house doesn't, you know, because it's nice or it's not nice, doesn't always mean that it's going to be haunted or not going to be haunted, right? I think that there's sort of a misconception with that, you know, out there, that if it's some old creepy house that it's going to be haunted, or if it's some brand new house that's not going to have any kind of spiritual presence, right? We are living proof that there are many places we've gone that are not supposed to be haunted that are, like the LDS church, right? I mean, you wouldn't think that that would be a haunted place necessarily. I mean, they don't really house dead bodies there necessarily. They don't really, like, you know, and we had one experience where this was when my cousin Sean and I used to go kind of cruising, and we listened to, like, Michael Jackson all the time. And I was driving my old little, I used to call it a Mercedes, but it was a 1985 Jetta, and I put the Mercedes symbol that I found at Pick and Pull, which is like an old junkyard, on the front of it so that it looked like a Mercedes to kind of look cool. But it was a piece of crap.
The interior was so nice.
It was so nice.
And it was funny. I could hear my brother, like, he worked at the training table. It was a little restaurant down the way there. And I would hear him.
That was the loudest car in the world.
You could hear it puttering all the way up.
You had to have a good sound system, which luckily I did have, so we could blare that Michael Jackson music. I would, at this time, you know, I would go with Sean. Him and I, we'd bond pretty a lot with this ghost hunting stuff, and so him and I would just take these drives at night, you know, and go look around at places that we thought might be good haunted locations, or even just kind of cruise and get a vibe, you know. And one time we went to, because we live in Utah and there's a lot of LDS churches, and we went to this LDS church, and we're just kind of driving through, and the parking lot is completely empty. I think, did we shut off the engine? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So I think we shut off the engine because that engine was so loud. So we shut it off, and we have all the windows down, and we're just kind of sitting in the parking lot, just kind of vibing. I just remember all of a sudden it just sounds like these, we call it church shoes. It's like the sound of the bottom of typical
shoes.
Shoes, like loafers, just running towards the car. Like, it scared the crap out of us. Did it hit the car? Do you remember?
Well, yeah, and from what I remember, it was exactly like just a pair of nice loafers with the hard bottom heels running up to the car. For no reason, we were just sitting there, and it scared us so bad.
Oh, yeah,
that
we peeled out of there.
The car and took off out of there. But what the crazy part was is we heard, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I think that was wind from outside.
We just heard a little pop, so we all kind of got a little freaked out.
But again, trifecta, we never know what's going on with the three of us.
If you guys get lucky enough to hear some paranormal activity live as it happens, that would be pretty crazy.
Yeah,
let's hope not.
I'm not discounting it, that's for sure.
So where was I? So I was going with the, so we peel out of there, okay, and we hear something kind of in the trunk, like towards the back of the trunk, almost like something was grabbing onto it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tried to grab onto the car. Obviously, anything tries to grab onto a car, good luck. But it was enough that made a noise.
Yeah.
And from what I remember, we got out of there, hightailed it out of there. And I don't know where we went, but we stopped. And we were curious about that sound that we heard in the trunk. And
we looked at the trunk with the scratch marks.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I remember this.
Was it the church by Grandma's house?
No, it was over by our buddy Yvonne's house, kind of in that neighborhood.
Gotcha.
He lived real close to our house, though, so it wasn't too far away.
Was I on simulation, standing next to a wall?
You were hanging out with Matt.
I think I was on simulation mode.
Me and Roman were kind of like...
I'm pretty sure somebody pressed pause on me and I was just staring at a wall.
But yeah, I remember looking at like the underneath the street light because it was dark, you know, we're just underneath the street light and we're looking at the back of my trunk and literally clear as day, it was three scratches. Just scratches down my trunk. And I'm like, dude, First of all, I'm mad because it's my car. I don't want it to be like... Because the body was actually pretty nice on that car, even though it was old.
It and had like, no was, scratches, yeah, actually.
Someone took care of it.
Nice cream color.
But I just hated that it had these scratches, right? But it was also just alarming because we'd heard that... Felt that feeling of something grabbing onto the back of the car, and then all of a sudden there's evidence right in front of us, right? Physical evidence.
Okay, so I do remember that, though. Like, I was probably on simulation mode. I really do believe I was just standing in a corner somewhere, and whoever was playing me is like, press pause and went pee or something. But seriously, they came back, and I remember, like, I came back to life, and they said, hey, like, there's scratches on the car. And I took off. I ran outside, checked it out, and it was, yeah, it's legit. Like, there was scratches on the car.
And then there was another time, so we...
Wait, they were three claws each, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's creepy, too. That's a whole other
thing, too, with the three thing.
Yeah. The three thing is kind of like a maybe a demonic symbol. I always try to say nobody knows the truth about things. Like, we kind of are just in speculation mode, but that is alarming when you have three clawed marks. Anyway, now I'll flash forward a little bit to a building that I started working at. I got lucky enough to go work downtown in Salt Lake City at the oldest skyscraper in downtown Salt Lake. It's called the Walker Center.
Walker Center.
And it's just, you know, it's just, it held, there's a special place in my heart for that building just because it's such a cool, it's just a really cool building. It used to be a bank, primarily a bank building. It's very old. It's, like I said, it's the first skyscraper in Salt Lake City, so biggest building that they had for the longest time down there. And it has this weather tower on the top of it where they used to be able to tell people what the weather was going to be during the day. And so they would say, you know, it would flash red if it was going to be snowy or rainy. It'd be solid red if it was going to snow, whatever else. They had different colors that they would change it to. So it was kind of an innovative building at the same time. But I got lucky enough to go work for the management company that ran the building. And that building was creepy. It just had a lot of history to it. A lot of people over the years that worked there. The Walker brothers were the ones who started it. It was four brothers with the last name Walker. They had a little bit of a mixed history with the LDS settlers here. There was a lot of...
Masonry
kind of involved with them. Supposedly they traveled in some of the tunnels that are underground the city because they were worried about getting attacked by the public and stuff like that. Supposedly they hid gold in the building somewhere.
Don't get us started on the tunnels, dude.
There's just a lot of cool mystery with that building.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story.
That's a new bag.
That's another episode.
Yeah, it's another episode for sure. But yeah, so I started working over there and we had a lot of experiences over there. And we actually have a couple cool EVPs that we want to show you guys that we had captured doing some investigation over there at the Walker Center. Because I worked for the management company, I was able to kind of access the building at all hours. And so we went out there at night one time and we were investigating and they were doing a big remodel, which many of you know that sometimes when you're remodeling old buildings like that, if there's any attachments, they kind of get really upset about the remodel because it's not what they're familiar with and they're what they love and what's beloved to them is getting ripped out and changed and everything. And who knows, the spiritual world is probably traveling, what they say is traveling faster than we are. So those changes can be so abrupt to them. Like it feels like a blink of an eye and it's just kind of alarming.
Yeah, I wondered about that. It's like seems like it's always with a construction situation or taking an artifact or like building something in a different location that shouldn't be there. It's always something like that. It's weird.
So we're at Walker Center. The fourth floor used to be the entrance that I would enter into to go to my office. And that was totally demolished when we were doing this investigation. So we're going through there and we always had this little digital recorder for EVPs. Because like Sean said in our last episode that we're kind of old school and those are the things we like the most are the EVP recorders and the cameras. So we're carrying this little EVP recorder around and just recording the whole time. And we're going to have to play you guys these little EVPs that we got, but there's a little girl voice that said, it sounds like call me, in a very whispery voice, so we'll play that for you right now.
So if you actually listen to this EVP, it's very interesting that we caught this because I think this is one of the only times that we caught multiple entities interacting with us at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Usually EVPs you get one or two, or maybe just one for the most part. You get one little high, one little thing.
Yeah, usually just something quick.
This one is very interesting because you'll hear the call me, but you also hear another entity completely different say, he's mean. And if you hear it, it goes, he's mean, and then it says, call.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget that.
Do you remember what we were exiting the building when we caught this? I think we were exiting the building.
We were running because what happened is we opened a door and we just had this bad sense that was over by this door and down this hallway. And so
give me shivers.
We kept saying, like, don't open that door. We don't want to open this door. So we opened it, you know, being brave. We're just going to be brave. We're going to do it. We're on our way out of here anyway. We opened the door and something was just not, it was a big mistake. And we felt it and we got out of there so fast, and it was just like go, 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 and it was like, oh,
I
man.
Think we even said that in the yeah, audio.
So, go, 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 go. And we were running as fast as we absolutely could out of that hallway because there was something that was not happy with us there at all. So when we finally chilled out, it was when we got to the parking lot, and that's when you started hearing that EVP there with the somebody was like, I just met somebody mentioned, I think it was Sam, it says, I just kept running all the way.
Yeah.
And that's when it says, he's mean, call me.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are nobody's voices. To be clear, we didn't have a girl with us. We didn't have any other person.
Was it five guys?
Had those types of voices.
It was four of us.
Yeah.
It was Sam and us three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, that, and that was a random, like, it may or may not be intelligent what it's saying, but it's definitely picking up something that wasn't there with us. Like, there was no person near us that was making those sounds, right? So it's pretty interesting.
And just to give you context, since Roman worked at Walker Center, we actually spent a lot of time there. Not just ghost hunting. We filmed some independent film stuff there too. So who knows? Maybe it was just like, you know what? These guys are here all the time. Let's do some.
And also, we should play the other EVP, because now that we're on the EVP thing, we did get one other really good EVP that I think is Class A. And the weird thing about it is that, and I don't remember if we were in the bathroom when we caught it or if we were in the stairwell. I think it was bathroom. It has that kind of echo sound to it. But I just remember that, and you'll notice when we play it, the background noise changes. So as you hear the beginning of the recording, and then all of a sudden it changes the tempo.
To a different level.
What is it called?
Yeah, are you talking about the whistle?
The whistle.
Yeah. It changes to a different tempo.
You can hear like...
So the whistle, I remember the whistle was caught down in the basement where you were taking us on a tour where they used to have the old vaults.
Yes.
And there was really nothing down there. Actually, a couple things happened down there we'll get into, but there was really nothing down there other than maybe the security guard maybe had a little... closet that he would hang out, but I mean, this is a big building down there. So Roman was showing us where the Walker brothers used to have the safe, right? Mm-hmm. A big safe.
Dude, this safe was huge.
It
was
like a massive round door.
Yeah, that door was probably 3 feet wide, like, or deep,
and thousands of pounds.
It was a 2 foot. It was
at least 2 feet, and just iron cast steel or something, just way deep.
Yep.
So we were on our way down there when that whistle was caught. So if you want to, go ahead and play it, Roman.
Let's play it.
Let's play it.
Yes, that means it's before. I don't know, that's kind of freaky. This whole building is kind of freaky, but... Mm-hmm. I know it's the most freaked out place to listen.
Yeah, I mean, the Walker Center was just... It was just full of just... creep fest, you know, and it was funny because, you know, I was the guy working there, and I was kind of like the errand boy, and so a lot of times they would have me go do these like odd jobs that were just kind of like, they didn't want to do them, so like, hey, go do this, and I had to go all the way in the basement by myself during the day a lot of times, and there was this whole file room where they had just boxes, like these banker boxes full of files, and they always had me go through them to find specific files and things like that, and so it was really intense. I'm sitting there in that, I can't even describe how creepy it was to be in that room by myself, just down there, there's no one down there, there's no office down there, it's just an empty space, and I'm sitting down there, and I'm like hearing creepy sounds, I'm like feeling like I'm being watched, it's just a really creepy vibe down there.
Was it a level below the main level?
Yeah, it was the basement.
Yes.
So it was the basement.
Yeah, it was below the main street.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, and so, and then Sean... my cousin here has some pretty intense experiences that have happened over there.
Well, just to put it in context, we were filming a movie, a part two to another movie that we're filming, or that we previously filmed in that same building. And so that's where Sean can explain kind of what happened or just get more into it.
Yeah, so as we kept doing this ghost hunting thing, right, over the course of the years, we also were creative in the aspect of we liked telling stories. I think, and I'm not saying like stories in the bad sense. We were very creative. We loved writing. We loved filming. We loved the theater kind of idea, right? I think all three of us kind of almost wish we were kind of into a theater more
What happens with us three is that we would go to Denny's at night and we would have these long conversations and we'd make characters up. We would actually make a full story every single time we hung out. So we had so many like backlogged characters and backlogged stories that we could really just work with.
Yeah, just, and you know what's funny about the character? A lot of them were based off of real people some way. But
I will say that if I was a spirit, let's just say I'm a ghost sitting back, whatever, and I see these guys filming a movie, I mean, that would be the first thing I'd be gravitated towards because it's this cool entertainment, right?
Oh, yeah.
So to me, that feels like a plain as day. It's going to attract some kind of activity, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. If you're interested in the film, the film we shot was, I think it's 90 minutes, and it was done all, it took a long time. It took like 2 years to get this film done. And it's called Eidolon, and you can find our channel at youtube.com with the channel name of 17th Floor Films. We got that name from the Walker Center, by the way. But going into the kind of our experience with this, so we had been at the Walker Center. We filmed a lot of this stuff here. We were filming a part two to our ghost hunting movie called Eidolon. Now, part two was called Nefarious. Now, Nefarious is another name for demonic or dark.
Yeah.
I think that's where we came because we wanted to make it a little bit more thrilling, right? But we ended up kind of biting off a little bit more than we could chew that night.
Yeah, yes. The first movie was called Eidolon, which means it's Greek for ghost. And Nefarious is Greek for demon or dark, you know? So yeah, we were taking it to a new level. We thought we were taking it to a new level, but something else took it to a new level.
We didn't expect what happened. Yeah. It was something. We invited something. And it wasn't intentional, I don't think. But, you know, it reminds me of the Exorcist movie and all these other kind of plagued movies, you know, when they sort of attract darkness, you know, and they've
during
got this
the filming,
during the yeah. filming, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of the crew has experiences and things. We just were plagued with it with this movie, and so it ended up getting scrapped. So the movie's not done. It won't ever get done.
Right. Yeah, we all got a little bit freaked out because there was things in there that we didn't do. Like I'm telling you, there's a stair scene that you'll see in the YouTube channel, and we'll show you.
Yeah, it was the interesting thing is though, so picture this, okay? So the scene starts off in a stairwell. The stairwell for the Walker Center is very thin, and it's marble, right? It's old, right? This is Utah. A lot of things were built marble back then, and it's very thin. You know how old things, the doorways were thin, the hallways were thin? Almost
built
like
for
everything.
Smaller people.
Exactly.
People were smaller back in the
stairwells
day.
Stairwells were vertical, like yeah. straight vertical.
Yep.
It's creepy.
So we're filming in this stairwell about my character who basically... reveals how my character ended up, you know, having something happen to him.
Yeah.
So we wanted to refilm that with a little bit more context with what this scene is. And so it takes place in this stairwell, and the entire time we're filming, we're getting noises, we're getting voices, and we're the only ones there. This place is shut down. You have to have a key that only Roman can have to get here.
Yep, and there's a security person there, and that's the only person there at night. The only person is security, and they're walking around the building if they see any activity, but they know who I am, so they don't mess with me, right? So they leave me alone.
Yeah, Roman was courteous enough to let them know that, hey, we're going to be filming this night, don't worry about it, and we almost never got bothered by them. They just knew who we were, we were there all the time, they just left us alone, we didn't damage anything, they didn't care.
I feel like every time we went to film, Roman, we went down there first and talked to him and just said, hey,
we're here, and they're like, hey.
Different levels, and we're filming.
Right.
So we're doing this by ourselves. Now this stairwell, like I mentioned, as we're trying to shoot this film, we're hearing things. All of us are on edge. There's something is interrupting our shots all the time. And so I'm doing this shot, and I'm the main actor, kind of getting beat up by this entity, right? This dark entity.
That's the premise.
That's
yeah.
part of the storyline, right? It's supposed to be that way. It's a horror movie, so it's supposed to be about ghosts.
Right. So the story is this character is getting beat up by an entity, but in actuality, there really was stuff going on that was caught on film in the raw. There
yeah,
was
in
nothing
a way
done.
Unbeknownst to us, because I'm sitting there holding the camera a lot of the time, and I really don't know what's happening to Sean. He knows, and he's reacting in such a way that it looks amazing. Like, he's a great actor, right? Because he is a great actor, but he'll elaborate more on what was really happening.
Right, so I'm getting to this stairwell, right? And there's a part where the entity pushes me into the wall, and I kind of slide down the wall. Okay, like I slide down, like somebody just shoved me. And it's all one take. And as I go to get up, as I'm on the floor, kind of on my half back, half butt, and I'm trying to like kind of get up, all of a sudden I feel something grab either my shoe or my ankle and pull me down further down the stairs. It was not supposed to happen that way at all. I was supposed to only just get up. And there was clearly something, you could see it in my face. And if you want to go watch it, it's on our channel. You can watch what actually happened, but I was freaking out at that point after Roman had shot it, and I'm sure people thought that it was just really good acting, but as we started looking at the footage, we're like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
How in the world did you actually do that? I said, I didn't.
Yeah, third person, when I was watching it, because Roman's filming, I'm sitting back watching the whole thing, and I see his face like have terror, just straight terror, and so there you go. I mean, it's weird, and I had no idea. While I was watching, I'm like, man, Sean's a great actor. I got some stuff to improve on.
Well, and it's with physics, it's impossible what happens on camera. I mean, unless someone really is pulling him, it's impossible for him to, because he comes to a full stop on pretty much on his behind, his back end, and then all of a sudden, he just starts sliding, like
it's
with
like
all this
pressure,
inertia.
It's like power.
And
yeah.
The only way that can happen is if someone's pulling you, right? And so it was just, it's an anomaly. It's hard to.
And either way, like, why would he want to throw himself down a marble stairwell?
Right.
He was trying to be a little safe with it, and that's what we do sometimes when we're filming, but that wasn't safe. He fell down hard. I was like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And there's more.
Yeah, there's a lot more, actually. So that was, again, like, this thing started ramping up more and more. Are you hearing that again?
Yeah.
Yeah. It starts ramping up more and more. See, and this is why we probably shouldn't be talking about this. Sometimes there's
every time we start talking about it, we all get together. There's that trifecta again. There's energy.
Yep.
I don't know what it is.
Something, and if you hear something, viewers, please let Roman know if there's something that you catch that's not our voices or anything like that. But
please.
Anyway, back to the story. So we're filming this thing, and we're like, okay, we're getting kind of freaked out. We can tell that we're in the presence of something that doesn't want us there or is messing with us, but we keep going, okay? And we're just like, nope, we're here. Let's just keep going. So we power on through, and we keep doing the shots. I think we only had, like, one special effect that entire... two of them, I'm sorry. There was two. There was the coat, and then there was the banging on the door. But everything else, most everything that was, like, fearful was because there was something going on there. I have a lot of raw footage, by the way, guys, of... I remember one of our friend, Matt. He's more of the skeptic. He was always kind of more of the skeptic guy.
But he knew something was going on that night.
And he was like, there's something going on.
Yeah.
So he's a tall guy. And
6'5".
Kind of more the brave kind of guy. Like, because we had experienced way too much. Like, we're like, we're not going down there, you know. There's some noises. There's some voices going down. Matt's like, give me the camera and I'll go take a look. So he goes and takes it down there. And I still have the footage. I might upload it or at least give it to Roman somehow. But he gets down to the very bottom of the stairwell where we're hearing all these voices coming from, and he opens the door down there, and this is not part of the film, this is just behind the scenes stuff. And so when he opens the door slowly, he goes down to the very bottom, takes a pan to the right, and then he pans to the left, and he hears we actually capture something yelling at him. And this guy, he doesn't get spooked, okay? He never
he
really
thinks he's Superman.
He kind of thinks he's got like a
and
Superman
he's
complex.
Based, like he's
But something spooked him enough that he started running back up the stairs, and you can clearly hear it on the raw footage. Like, something yelled at him.
Yeah.
To the point where he got messed up. And I it's just like something was there.
Well, and the thing is when we were filming that in the stairwell, how Sean was saying, we used some special effects on that. So his coat gets pulled off of him by this entity.
Oh, yeah, that was wild.
But you know what scared me about it is that, and Roman's touched on this already with the wild, is that all of a sudden the coat gets pulled off of him, and we're using a string or something. I can't remember. I don't want to give up too much detail because it's, you know, special effects. But all of a sudden the coat gets pulled up, and it follows like a perfect trajectory going up the stairs to where it looks like it's getting floated up so perfectly. And
yeah.
As if someone grabbed it by their hand that's invisible and just carrying
it
up the steps.
Yeah. And it didn't move Bob or anything. It was just floating so perfectly.
Which,
and I'm like, that does not happen.
The shape of that stairwell is impossible. When you think about the shape of how that stairwell is above and below.
Being so
it's
tight
just
like
impossible.
It is, like we're saying.
Yeah.
And it floated perfectly up that angle.
Yep.
I'm like, what in the world is that all about?
But it gets even worse.
Sean, elaborate.
I don't know if I want to anymore, guys. I'm bringing back all these memories. But, so as if that wasn't enough, okay? As if it wasn't enough being pulled down a marble staircase. It wasn't enough hearing screams, you know, from the camera, from Matt, and just odds and ends. Just something, just everything wasn't going right, okay? But we kept going. Because for the sake of the film.
Yeah, we had a
right.
film. We had a
when
film
when we
film.
Have these film nights, the thing is they're scheduled, and it's kind of like we all are busy, right? And so when we're filming, and this is the thing, we used to film for 3, 4, 5 hours just trying to get a couple shots.
Yeah, we'd start at 9 o'clock, get done
took
at 3
forever.
In the morning.
Like, but we were like, we're determined because it was the only time we had to really do the scene, right?
Right. So we get, so if you were to go back and watch it, like things are progressively getting worse for this guy, which is me. And we end up getting down, I remember getting down through the elevator scene, and we get down to the basement. Now, this is the same basement that we captured the whistle, right? And this is all, what else is down there? There's something that your coworker mentioned that was like some strange messed up room or something that was there.
Oh, yeah. No, they mentioned to me that the Walker brothers, so I guess so they were given this book when the management took over the building. They were given this book of history about the Walker brothers. These are the guys who helped build the building, and, you know, they were the empire of the building. The history talks about a room that they had in the basement that was a soundproof room, and it's somewhere in the basement. We don't know where, but it was a soundproof room. Who knows what you need a soundproof room for?
Yeah, why in the world were you using a soundproof room?
Especially back in the 20s, 30s, whatever time it was.
I think beating people up.
It's just bad news.
Probably they didn't pay their loans, you know? They probably started beating people up. You know what I gotta say to that is
that I was gonna give them some love and say the Walker brothers were better than the Wright brothers. I'm taking that back. I'm taking them all back.
Maybe they're the wrong brothers.
They're the wrong brothers.
They're the wrong brothers. But either way, they like gave us access to a building they didn't know. Actually.
Which is still my favorite building downtown, by the way.
Me too. It's a gorgeous, it's a cool building.
Yep.
Yeah, if you guys ever get a chance, you should look it up. It's really interesting, but it's kind of buried right now.
Oh yeah,
with all these other skyscrapers, so it's kind of a hidden gem. So anyway, back to where were we going? So we're doing this film. Things are progressively getting worse, and I thought it was just me being the actor. But you know, we would take breaks and we would converse with each other a little bit. I, of course, was on a, I don't want to say hysteria, because that's not the right word.
You're high alert though.
I was definitely high alert.
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is I could tell that. Like, I could tell he was on high alert. I couldn't tell. Looking at it from the outside, I was like, why is he on high alert? Even though I could feel that there was some weird stuff going on and stuff, it didn't seem that intense yet.
Yeah.
My mind.
Yeah, I remember Jaren, you know, like, it was just, yeah.
I was the speculator right now.
Well, in my opinion of that is that whatever it was that was messing with us was attaching straight to Sean.
To Sean.
Like, it was messing with him for whatever reason.
Yeah. Because
you were ready for your close-up.
Attaching to him, and who knows why. Who knows why?
Maybe it wanted to be on camera.
Ew.
So this next part is, there's a disclaimer. This next part is pretty hard for me to talk about, and it's also hard for I think it's hard for these guys to put themselves back in that mind.
Yeah, before we started talking about this, I said, do we want to talk about this?
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Jaren warned me. He's like, do you even want to talk about this? Because I know where it's going
to
go.
I think it's worth telling because it's a warning. It's a warning to other people just to be careful, you know, I think.
So we're down in this basement. There's a shot where my character is being attacked by this thing that he can't see, and he's looking for an exit. And right when he thinks he knows and he finds the exit, it turns out to be a dead end, which doesn't make any sense because he was following all the exit signs for the building. And all of a sudden, it's just, he ends up in this room where he can't go anywhere. So I remember that there was an empty little room, and all the Roman operating the camera and Matt and Jaren were back there just helping with keeping the flow of things going, whatever the case may be. I was, you know, kind of in the
We were messing mode. With lighting and making sure things were
Yeah, ready. So they were doing odds and ends, to, you know, keeping an eye on people. If anybody, you know, like security guard, whoever came in, they would go and talk to him and let us know, hey, you know, we're doing this film. But things got worse for me, and it's almost like I started turning into someone I'm not. And that's the best way I can describe it, because when we were preparing for this shot, I was the only one that was 10, 15 feet out from the camera, and everybody else was behind the camera. So I was the only one centerfold, and it was a dead end room. And before we hit action, as we were trying to figure this out, I got really spooked because I clearly heard loud ass footsteps running up behind me, which there's no way. Because there is no...
He's the only one in that room. And we're all...
It's a dead-end room behind me. So behind my back, there's nothing but a wall. But
yeah, think about it. You come out of the elevator. We walk into a glass door room. The room turns to the left, and that's it. There's nothing else. That's the room we were filming in.
So, and, you know, some people would say, oh, you were just in the moment. You know, I've been in scary situations before. You know, this isn't my first rodeo dealing with the paranormal. But there's something going on that night where I heard those loud footsteps, and I got down on my knees. I remember I put my hands over my ears. I looked down at the ground. I started screaming. And this is so unlike me.
It was out of character.
It was out of line completely.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I came like running in, like we kind of just stopped it, and I came running.
Yeah,
in,
they
like,
came running to grab me.
I'm like, what is he doing? Like, I don't know if you have ever heard like a blood curdling scream. It was really like that kind of scream. So I came running in. I'm like, what is going on?
And then
here?
we're trying to pick him up, right? And he's looking around, like, all weird.
He's looking around super weird, like he's not in his own body, and he has his hands down. And he's like, ah! That's the best way I can describe it, but it was way louder than that, obviously.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't remember really much of this. Once I heard the footsteps, like a lot of this, this is when I started like blacking out. But the only thing I have to go off of is you guys.
It makes me wonder, like, I mean, we've heard a lot of stories about possession, right, and stuff. And like, whatever this thing was really clearly trying to do that. And I think it got close. I mean, I think it got pretty close. It was definitely an attachment, and it was...
I think there was some power there, you know, with different people and different energies. It was like kind of like it got shut down somehow, you know. It was one of those weird things, but all I remember is like when we're filming it, it's like picture one of those scenes where like somebody's like puts their head up and they're screaming and it's like spinning around them and going up into a black hole. Like that's kind of how it felt. And so we all booked it. Like we got out of there as quick as we could.
Yeah, we called it a night. That was enough.
We shut it down. Yeah,
before though, so I had started losing, like blacking out, right? But I was still obviously doing stuff and looking around, like Roman said, all strange and just kind of not acting me. So it was time to call it a night. We're done. I mean, it had been getting progressively worse the and this was the climax, and this was when it was time to call it a night. And so I remember kind of waking up consciousness around the elevator. Like, you guys had pushed the button, and it wouldn't call. I remember because it was the maintenance elevator. So the button wouldn't call, but this is when I started realizing what was going on, okay? But when I started kind of coming to my senses, I don't know if you call it blacking out, waking up. Apparently, I was walking around and hanging out with these guys for a little bit, and I don't remember any of this, but I kind of regained consciousness, and these guys wouldn't talk to me. I remember that these guys were so freaked out, and they just say, "Where is the elevator not coming?" And they were freaking out,
trying to get out of there. There was
and
something wrong.
It wouldn't work. The elevator would not come down. And
which, by the way, was not unlike Walker Center. That would happen from time to time. And there's times where all of a sudden the elevator would just open up on the floor you're at and no one called it. And it just opens up and it shuts again. And you're like, that's weird. It's almost like some spirit just came out of the elevator.
Was that weird substitute freight elevator? It was like the mainframe
yes,
and then the green
for the basement
one.
It was.
Yeah,
yes.
That was a weird one. Yeah. That was a weird elevator.
Yeah, so I just remember, guys, like I regained consciousness and the whole thing had changed at that point. You guys were just like, you know, don't talk to them. There's something wrong. Like, it's almost like you guys didn't want to really have much interaction with me. And I remember, like, I don't know who mentioned it, but somebody said that there was voices around me before I regained consciousness. There was like voices behind me.
I think we both brought it up because we were like a little further away from the camera, and when you were screaming, and it's weird that you say that because I kind of like pushed it out of my mind, but I do remember there was like weird stuff like that, like weird extra voices around that I don't remember was any of us, like creepy stuff, you know,
very creepy,
just like in the movies. It's kind of messed up to say, but it was like that.
And then to kind of continue on, so we get up to the floor and we start walking back to the car. And it was Roman's Charger at the time.
Yep.
I remember.
I missed that car.
We were in the back of the Charger. They put me in
2006 Dodge Charger.
So Roman was driving, and
Apple Red.
I was in the back passenger seat, and I kept asking, "What happened? What happened? I don't remember." And I just remember you guys were like, "Should we tell him? Should we tell him? No, let's not tell him."
Were we slapping you really hard?
You were saying, "I don't know." No, I hope not, man. I don't know what you did to me.
I'm just kidding.
But, we were just overly cautious because we didn't know what we were dealing with.
Yeah,
and we knew it was something spiritual. We knew. It wasn't like a mental breakdown. It was something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your whole character changed.
Yeah. And I just said, what happened? What happened? And no, I just remember riding the backseat almost like I was like, it was almost like I was prisoned in that car, like a criminal.
Like you're going to an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Type
thing. It kind of felt like that. And I'm like, what happened?
Padded truck.
They're like, and I do remember saying or hearing them say, should we tell them? And they said, no, we should wait till we get back to the room.
Yeah.
And what he means by that is the house that I would stay over. And then they would tell me what they heard. And that's when they told me we heard voices around the elevator wouldn't come, we heard like different things around you, and we just didn't want to tell you then because we didn't think you would be able to handle it or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was
wild.
Yeah,
that was so wild.
And I'm going to go out on a limb. That was a big turning point for me realizing...
spiritual level.
Yeah, you know, spiritual, and my faith basically changed. Everything changed at that point because I started realizing I wasn't messing with just any old hoax.
Yeah,
and that's really beautiful. It is beautiful.
Yeah, and just to get on context too, like I was a new Christian. So I was like, I was kind of like born again in my mind at this moment. And I was a little scared of this whole thing anyway. So while we were filming the scene, I was like the most scared. Again, I'm always the most scared for some reason.
Yeah, but I remember you praying.
But I was praying a lot, and I was trying to get through
all
these things.
It was like a battlefield going on.
It was a battlefield. And so I think there was a spiritual battle going on, and then he sort of candidly very changed without his own will. Like, so again, you know, it's not to get religious at this moment, but there were some things that changed in him and changed in me at that time, and we're never looking back, of course, which is great. But it was a scary moment. And then we're filming our new version of this movie. I don't know if you want to, do you want to talk more about that though, Sean, before we go to this?
Which movie?
About
the,
this situation.
The one we're talking about? No, I'm pretty good. If you have something, you can go ahead and
throw
it in there.
So now it's 2021 and we're filming a part two to another movie that we're working on. That's a part two to a movie called Lark that we did in 2008. This one's called Larcenity. Hopefully it'll be out this year. We're working on it. We got into the Walker Center, lucky enough,
That's kind of crazy thinking about that because...
Yeah, we have never had access to it for the last few years. We've been trying to get into it. And we've shown up there a couple times, couldn't get in.
Right.
All of a sudden this year we pull up.
Yeah, when was that? Was that last year? Was that winter last
year?
Or when was it?
It was this year. It was like October, November or something like that.
Just last year.
Yeah.
So it was early. Okay.
Early last year.
So we show up there. It's open. We're like, what? So we go into the Walker Center. Everything's the same pretty much. And the whole scene that we're filming in is in, was it level 4?
It was a decade. I remember saying it was 10 years later. Everything was exactly, even the plant.
Even the fake plant.
So we're filming the scene. It's
like
perfect.
Odd going back into a time slip of like
well,
a few years back.
Well, it's perfect for our movie because
you know?
It's kind of like a dream sequence thing. We're not going to get into that right now. But as we're filming this scene, we're filming a little part and we're kind of on a corner of hiding behind this, like it's a little hallway next to the elevators. And all of a sudden, nobody's there. It's at night. We hear the elevator ting as we're filming a scene. It just goes ping.
Yeah, like somebody called it.
Like somebody called an elevator to come up to that floor.
That we were on. Just
like
Roman was mentioning.
We go walking over to think it's a security guard. We're like, oh, security's coming to check.
We're just waiting for security to walk out of that elevator. Hey, guys, you can't be here.
And guess what? Nobody was there.
Yep.
Door opens. There's nothing there.
Nobody came out.
So it was like, hey, we're greeting you guys. You're back. These same ghosts.
It was like a friendly little, hey, guys.
It was kind of creepy.
I don't like that at all. I know. Especially after what happened. But
yeah, that freaked me out a lot.
So that wasn't the only thing that happened that night. Go ahead. Yeah,
and then the creepiest thing happened. You guys remember? So we're on the 6th floor, which is actually the new entrance to the building, Walker Center. We go into the stairwell because we're like, hey, let's go. We're waiting for the elevator. It's taking too long. So we're like, let's go through the stairwell just for old time's sake. Let's go down to the 4th floor, which is where the old entrance used to be, which is where we caught those EVPs you guys heard earlier on in the episode. So we're like, okay, cool. So we go inside the stairwell and all of a sudden the door just slams behind us.
Hard.
As soon as we walk in the stairwell, boom!
It slammed really hard.
The loudest slam, like someone had slammed it right behind us, and there was no one on that floor with us.
And this is the same stairwell, by the way.
And I just remember looking at these guys with wide eyes, like, holy crap, what just happened, right?
And
all of a sudden,
we tried to open that door.
Right? Yeah. Same time.
And
twins.
It would not open.
It wouldn't open. We're locked in. We're locked in the stairwell. So then we go down to the next floor. We're still locked. Next floor. We're still locked. So we're panicking. We're like, what are we going to do to get out of here? You know, because you have to have like a access card to get into certain floors and stuff like that. So it was pretty creepy.
The main thing on my mind is oxygen levels going out in the stairwell. We're going to be stuck in here for 4 or 5 hours. Nobody's going to hear us. It'll be the next day. It was actually really creepy. I think we went down to the 2nd floor.
Finally got out.
Yeah, that's what it was. There was
the only one that was open.
It was messed up, man.
You
want
to know why it was open? It was a twist handle. Everything else was a pull handle.
That's right. Yeah.
We were screwed.
Or somebody let us out.
Yeah, it was scary either way, yeah.
Because that stairwell, I mean, I don't like going down in that anymore.
I felt like we were stuck in like a...
I think that place is a twilight zone.
It just is.
That stairwell was... There's no chance in hell that would have been open, and somebody opened that for us. They let us out because we wouldn't have been able to get out.
Every door should be locked.
Right.
Why was one unlocked?
Yeah, and that wasn't the only time. That elevator, I almost felt like somebody was chasing us. Because remember when we got to the 2nd floor? The elevator dinged again.
Yeah, he's right. I totally forgot about that.
And that's when we exited.
So whatever it was trying to get us. It was trying to find us.
So I don't know if we were fully welcome at Walker Center when we came back this year. We came back this year. It looked the same. We had some issues.
But hey, if we go back again, we'll do a live stream. And then I'll just tell all you guys about it. You guys can find it.
We'll live podcast this next time.
Because who knows what can happen.
Walker Center in person.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea.
Yep.
Really appreciate you guys being along with us tonight on the train. We'll definitely be back again for other stories. We have more to tell between the three of us. And then definitely got some other great stories coming up, just solo stories as well. So please stay tuned. Love that you guys are here with us. It means a lot to me that you're here listening. Stay tuned for the next one. Thank you so much for being here and take care.
Sayonara.
Late again and I can see the
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.